Number 44 in her songbook that Debbie had just led talks about setting your mind. As Christians, we're baptized into the waters that represent the blood of Christ that died for our sins, and henceforth His blood cleanses us from all sin, and we become a child of God. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 tells us that we rise to walk in newness of life. Therefore, as a child of God, it is my responsibility to walk anew in the ways of God and not in the ways of sin. And this song talks about that. Talks about the fact that the earth has nothing to offer us. So while we're here, we're not to give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Many people are going to do that. The Bible teaches us that the majority of the people will go the broad way, the easy way, that leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It also teaches us there, Jesus warned that there would be only a few that would follow the straight and narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So this morning, as we think about setting our minds on things above, let's think about the world and this old world and what it is with its sorrow and pain and sin. We need to refrain from sin. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us that not to love the world, the things of the world. For these things are passing away. That the world's not going to last, and this life's not going to last. So we need to be preparing for a better place. So in the world, there's going to be sin among people. Because mankind is flesh and spirit. God made us that way. And so we have a choice. Everyone has a choice. God does not force anyone to choose the way of right that leads to heaven, but He offers that choice to everyone. So there will be many who will not make that choice. There will be many who will try to stop you and me and anyone else that gets in their path from following the way of right because they love to live in sin. They love the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They love to engage in things of a fleshly nature that are enjoyable in the flesh. And God points to us as Christians and says, put off the things of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. For the works of the flesh, these things lead to eternal torment. So God warns everyone, men and women, that if we choose the way of the world and we live the way of the flesh and we engage in sin and we condone that and we agree with it and we encourage others who are in it and participate in it with them, that we're going to be destroyed eternally in a place called hell, but we won't be permanently destroyed. We will be in permanent torture in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. That's a terrible thought, to think about being somewhere forever and ever and ever that doesn't ever end. There'll be no night to rest. There'll be no weekend to take off. It is eternal punishment. So then we're living a world as Noah did. Noah lived in the world, and in Genesis chapter 6, he said, I'm sorry I made man because man has become so evil. See, man made the choice to become evil. God didn't make man evil. But He gave them the right to choose. And when man chooses to live in an evil world, and it was in Noah's days that only the thoughts of man were evil continually, there was one righteous man who vexed his righteous soul during that time named Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. And God told Noah, I'm going to destroy these people from the face of the earth because of their what? Their wickedness. Wickedness does not make it in the sight of God. He may allow men to do it because they make that choice, but He doesn't want them to do it. He wants man to listen to His word and mold their lives as He would be, that He would want them to be. We're made in His image. We have a spirit that's eternal. And so then Noah, the preacher of righteousness, he preached 120 years preparing the ark. And in that time, after it was over and God sent the flood to destroy all these wicked people, remember now, who to destroy everything on the earth except all the animal life and plant life and fish life and everything. There was enough saved in the ark that man might reproduce. And mankind reproduced out of the good man, Noah, who found grace in the sight of God because he was doing right. And he then was able that his wife listened, His sons listened, and his daughter-in-laws listened, and 8 righteous souls were saved by the water when God destroyed everyone else who was what? Who was wicked. But we live in a day as it was in Noah, much like that, and not just today because it's 2,000 and something, but it's been that way down through history. You look back on history and read the Bible, everything that happened from Genesis 1 all the way through the period of about 96 A.D., the Bible recorded, it was just continual. Even the people of God turned away sometimes to involve themselves in wickedness and be like the people around them. And when that happened, they lost their credibility with God. They were punished. Now many of them were brought back and were able to come back and serve God, a remnant, but many of them went the ways of the world. So there's a warning for us today, in that as Christians, we need to be aware that we live in a world where there are things going on that are wrong. And if I think I can just close my front door and lock it and it all go away, I'm wrong. If you think that you can ignore it and not say something about it, then we're wrong. Because God asked Christians to stand up and live a life, number one, of exemplariness in the sight of God, of like Christ, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. That we'd be like a city set on a hill that others could see what? Our good works. That we'd be like a light that would bring people out of darkness into the way that's right because they could see Christ living in us. That we'd be like the salt of the earth that would have an influence on people that are committing evil things and bring them out of their evil ways because they want to obey the truth, that we might teach them. Barry and I have talked about it a few times. People he's known and people I've known at work and in other places, that you talk to them and some of them will listen. Some of them will take the Word of God and believe it, and some say they believe it but they don't, or they won't show it by their actions. Some will say, well, that's right, but they don't ever leave their ways that are wrong and turn to God and obey Him. But some do. And that's what God wants. He's long-suffering that all would come to repentance, that all might be saved. And so God, who created us, is going to judge us by the word that He has spoken, John 12, 48. And according to that, every one of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, is going to stand before God in the day of judgment, before the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and be judged according to what? According to things that we have done in this body. So we're going to be judged by how we live. Everyone is. Everyone, not just Christians, everyone's going to be judged based on the Word of God and His commands. And well, did I obey the Word of God? Did I try to obey the Word of God? And so we're going to be judged by a righteous judge, a merciful God, but He's also a strict God. And His Son's going to judge us by God's Word. God does not lie. God cannot lie. So He gives us His truth. We have an opportunity to obey truth or error. So then, let's get to the meat of our lesson this morning. This week I talked to a friend of mine. He was at our house working, and we happen to have a friend, an acquaintance, that's a school teacher. And I'll just say that the teacher, calling roll in the classroom, there was a new student that had moved in from another school in the same county. And as the teacher called the roll in the homeroom, she got to the student's name, and the teacher called the student's name. And the student said, "I do not identify by that name. I don't identify by that name." That student said that it identified by an animal, the name of an animal. And the student told these middle school students in that homeroom class, and the teacher, that "I want to be called by this name because I'm transitionary. I'm transitioning." I don't have to say much more of that because we know what that's all about. We had the coming out week in Coleman this week. And of course the teacher is guided by state law and everything else. And so the teacher simply said, "Your name is this on the roll, and both I and the students will call you by your name." And that's all it was saying. So, that needed to be said. Because here's the student's name. Name of a person. First and last name. Like you and I have. Like people in the Bible had. And that God gives to people. And we take those names. But this person wanted to be different. As a few others do. So we think about this and we think about what's going on. We understand that there are people around us today who'd want us to believe that the waves are coming and every one of us have been overwhelmed. And everyone else around us, besides the people who belong to God, are what's right. They want us to believe that they're right and they have a wave coming. And it's the majority of the people that believe that way, but it's not. It's only a certain percentage that believe that way, who push their ways on good people, who push against God and right and truth every day that they live, and they do that for the purpose of pushing their agenda to live in sin and entice others to live in sin. There's an article in the weekly paper that comes out in Coleman County, a very good article, written by a member of the church, a gospel preacher. And it wasn't afraid to put the name of the congregation in there. And it talked about the things that happened last week, week before last, and some of the ceremonies that were taking place. He made some good points. And I'd already been looking into this for the last couple of months about preaching this lesson. Because you hear it in the workplace, you hear it at school, you hear it in the community. You hear people talking because of the danger that's out there today that are influencing our young people, and not just our young people, our adults. And so, what are Christians supposed to do? We're supposed to believe God. We're supposed to study His Word and grow thereby, that we may present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. That we may renew our minds, that we may give God reasonable service. And reasonable service unto God and obedience to God is not engaging in the ways of the world, because it's wrong. Go back to Genesis chapter 3 with me this morning, where God created man and woman. He made all the things of the earth, and on the sixth day He made man, and there was no helpmeet for man. He made woman. So there's two things about life. There's God the Creator, and there's everything that's been created by Him, which is all the animal life, plant life, everything, the sea life. He made it all. He made this universe so man could live in it, and He made all of it for man. So in the Bible, there's two things. There's man and there's woman. God made man, the woman, for Him, that they might be together as husband and wife, to walk through life together, that He could be the head of His wife, to protect her, to care for her, to provide for her, that she might be able to walk with Him and He with her, and them have a relationship and a companionship that God put in place. That's the right thing. So there's only two. There's only a man and a woman. A man and a woman. The man is the head of the household. The woman is the childbearer. And the man is to provide for his family. She's to bring up her children. He's to bring up his children. They're to teach them the way of God and obey God themselves and be an example to them and bring them up that they might be men and women who too would leave their father and mother and find a partner for life, one man and one woman, and cleave together for life in a relationship that's called marriage. Ordained by God, not by man. And Jesus said, if any man put him asunder without the right reason, don't have a right. So, marriage, man and woman. So God made that. But now, God made rules. And He still has those rules. And in Genesis chapter 3, we find that God made rules for Adam and Eve. And He put them in the garden and had everything they needed. And He said, now of all the fruit and everything that you in this garden that you want, you can eat thereof, except for the tree in the midst of the garden, which you may not eat of, the tree of life. For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And sure enough, the serpent deceived Eve, and she was enticed, and she partook of the fruit. It looked good to her. She had reason to think it would be okay to do it, because the devil said, it's okay. And she took of the fruit, and she did eat, and she gave to her husband, and he ate. And God, where are you, Adam? He knew where God was, and knew where Eve was, and knew what he'd done, just like they knew what Ananias and Sapphira had done in Acts chapter 5 that we studied this past Wednesday night. But nonetheless, she was deceived. You have been deceived by the serpent. And then you're going to suffer. You're going to be expelled from the garden, and you're going to have the pain of childbearing. And you're not going to be around the tree of life, the wonderful garden I had for you. You're going to be punished. Why? Because you did not obey me, God said. Now, but I'm going to do something about this, he says. The serpent did this, and he has caused a scar on mankind, brought sin on him, the woman and then the man. But he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send someone later that's going to take care of this serpent. Give him a blow that he'll never overcome. That death can be overcome. That sin can be overcome. And so God talked to Eve and gave her punishment. And then he told the man, what is it, Adam? Well, you've listened to your wife and you've eaten of this, and now you've done wrong. You're going to go out here and you're going to earn a living by the sweat of the brow. You're going to leave this garden. So another point in the lesson. God's a creator. He gives the rules. We ought to obey the rules. If we don't obey the rules, we're going to suffer the consequences in this life, because sin brings consequences. And in life eternal, if we don't come out of that sin and make it right with God through God's plan, we're going to suffer eternally also. So, man and woman was expelled from the garden because of sin and because of temptation they gave in. We find over in Genesis chapter 19, Lot. Whenever Lot vexed his soul over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and those men came wanting the men to come out so they could be with who? Be with men? Men, be with men. Send them out here so we can be with them. That was a sin. God does not like that. It's a man and a woman. And that was sin. It is sin. And so God did what? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Destroyed. Why? Because of sin. Now, God may not destroy this earth with fire until after we've been gone from here a long time. But it's going to be destroyed. But the thing is, the souls of everyone is going to either be in heaven or hell. And it won't be destroyed there. We'll either be in heaven for joy and happiness forever, or in hell for eternity. That's God speaking, not me. What we talked about this morning is what God says. I'm just relating to you, as you already know, what God says. So, there's an agenda today, as it was in the days of Noah and throughout history, if you read back. You'll see there's an agenda of people who want to push sin on everyone else, and no matter what you do, if they don't like it, it's wrong. And then you try to point out the sin that they're engaged in. It's not that we don't like those people. We don't like the sin they're engaged in, because God don't like sin. And we should not like sin, because God hates sin. And the consequence of sin is terrible, so we should not like people living in sin, and we should want to influence them. But many of those people who say that it's okay for the same sex to be together, or for someone to change as they want to and burn in the lust of their flesh in this life, they want to push that on us. So what God says is that I want you to listen to me. I want you to obey me. Because the example is, when man sinned, when woman sinned, they were pushed out of the garden. When they sinned in the days of Lot, those men burning with men, God destroyed that city because it got to be so bad. You go look in the book of Leviticus, and we see that if we turn over there, we could read this morning and see also that certainly there are other examples. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. Let's just turn over there and look at that very quickly. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. What does God think about what's going on when mankind lives in sin and disobeys Him? Leviticus 20 and verse 13, he says, if there is a man who lies with a male, man with a man, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. Now that's God speaking. But now, there's a segment of society now and then that would say that you can't judge me. We're not judging anyone. God's the judge. His word is the judge, but God's word judges righteously. And if we study God's word and we know it, we have the ability to make a judgment call of whether something's right or wrong. God gave us that ability. And so you can understand if it's sinful or not. Both of them shall have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. That's how God feels about sin. Specific kinds of sin especially. Why, it's so repulsive, He'd put them to death. And that was the law. You say, well, you know, I don't see how that could have an application on us. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and let's think about how God feels about it in our dispensation of time. What was said by the Apostle Paul in writing to the church at Rome about sinful acts that were going on among some people then. What does God say about it? Romans chapter 1 beginning in verse 22. Now notice this, the Apostle Paul writes, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Now I want to take just a minute and inject this into the thought of the lesson because it's true. Today there's a segment of people who think they are so wise that no matter how many scriptures you quote to them, no matter how much you can prove to them that the Bible is the Word of God, the years it's been written, and that it is the truth, they think they know it all. And that you and I don't know what's right. They profess themselves to be wise, so they want to change you and me to what they are. So let's look at this. Let's look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and craven creatures. He talks about idolatry, worshiping things that are not of God. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, worship to God can be corrupted. Putting one's love on things of the world and other things of men and teachings of men rather than God can corrupt a person's life and endanger. For this reason, verse 26, God gave them over to degrading passions. Notice that. Degrading passions. For their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. Just like those men back in Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the same way also the men abandoned their natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. Listen to that verse. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. Inventors of evil. Does that ring home? Disobedient to parents, that rings home, doesn't it? Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Rings true when you go back to the book of Leviticus. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. You know, I was going to preach this lesson, the first lesson, and then we was going to get into the study of the church, the second lesson, but we can't even get through the introduction of this lesson because this is such a intense study. And it's right before our eyes, folks. So, we're to live a quiet and peaceable life before God, before men, being a good example to others, leading them to Christ. God would want us to do that. He asked us to be those people who have been blood bought, to live and walk according to His will, even though there may be those who would force us and try to intimidate us and try to take us out because we believe what's right and we believe God. Don't let it do it. We can live right on a daily basis. We don't have to make a big show and a big blow like some of these people are doing. We can live right in the sight of God by thinking right, speaking right, dressing right, having the right kind of homes, the right kind of marriages, standing up and being men and being women who obey God, who are honest, who are upright, who do that which is right, and who are not afraid to serve God, even when those around them persecute them because they are serving God. And who are not afraid to serve God, even when there are those in places of authority who want to force Christians to bend to the whims and actions and sins of men. We could say amen. But the repercussions. Think about the early Christians. Think about what happened to them. We've been studying about Peter and John and Stephen, Paul, and a whole bunch that were scattered abroad. Why? Because persecution came upon the church. Because why? Because they were of the way. They were the way of the truth. They were of God. They were Christians. They wore the name Christians. And they were teaching the Word of God. And the world came upon them. Other religious leaders came upon them and punished them. But they maintained their integrity, most of them. Well, yeah, we have examples of where some forsook the faith, departed and went the ways of the world. That may happen. But you know, I had a lot of scriptures I wanted to read this morning, a lot of more points I wanted to make. But really, in 35, 40 minutes, you can't say very much about what God says because He said a lot about the situation we're in right now with people's attitudes and people's lifestyles and what's going on around us. And so we'll end the lesson by saying this. God hates no one. Christians hate no one. Anyone who wants to come in this building and hear the Word of God is welcome, no matter what their lifestyle is, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter what their religious belief in, they're welcome to come in and study and listen and learn. Because the truth can set you free, John 4, 23 and 24. It can set us free from not knowing. It can set us free from ignorance. And it can set us free from sin when we obey it. So we would want everyone, even those who try to push their evil, sinful ways on us, to hear the truth. Why? Because we love their soul. We don't love the sin, but we love their soul. But what we get accused of is that we hate them. It's not them we hate. So why can't they understand that they're pointing fingers and hating us by their action? That's what they're doing. They're showing their hate toward us when we would welcome them, not for us to participate in their sins, but for them to see God's way and go to God's way and save their souls. They judge us. They're judging us and point a finger and say, "You're judging me." We're not judging them. The Word of God judges them. And then God tells us to practice righteous judgment. He gives us right and wrong. So we can distinguish, we can divide and understand what's right and what's wrong because God tells us. And yet, they judge us and accuse us of judgment. Many of them tell us that we hate them, and we don't. God hates sin. He doesn't hate them. We hate sin because we're told to abstain from every form of evil. Not to cling to sin, but to cling to good. Cling to that which is right. So, the lesson's yours. If there's anyone here this morning that hasn't been baptized into Christ, and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that, repent, and be baptized, we'd encourage you to do that today, no matter what your background is. And once you're baptized and you've repented, you turn from the things that you do that were wrong and give them up and walk in the way of God. It's a simple pattern. It's a simple law. It's a simple teaching. God loves everyone, but He does not love sin. And if we're living in sin, He loves us, not the sin, and we'll be punished for the sin we're engaging in. If you're here this morning, you have something you need to correct in your life and need prayers, please come while we stand and while we sing.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus.